Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's so good to be with you. What are you longing for? Like, really longing for? You know, what's that thing that comes to mind all the time that you're seeking, you know? We all have things we long for, and a lot of the time we think, oh, if I could only have this, then I'd be fully content. If I could only see this, if I could only do that, then I'd be fully content, fully satisfied in my life. My life would be complete. And it's very easy sometimes to end up longing for possessions or status or something about our family, or worldly success, or maybe even a position at the church. You know, I really want to be on the worship team. Never mind that you can't sing. And we think that that would bring us true and total contentment. But we're deceived. We're deceived. Because whatever you have, whatever you accomplish, it's never enough. It's never enough. Have you not noticed that making $1 billion is never enough? The billionaires always want 10 more, usually at our expense. There's always this itch for something not yet satisfied. And the truth is, there's only one thing that can truly satisfy. And that's what today's psalm is all about. We're doing a series of messages in the Psalms. And today we want to look at Psalm 63. So if you have a Bible, get it out and look, because I want you to kind of be able to follow along or pull it up on your device. It only takes a second. Psalm 63. Now it's very important to notice in all the Psalms, there's a little heading that they stick in the front. And very often, we skip that part. Don't skip it. It's important. And this one, it says, a Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. That is important. You won't understand anything of the rest of the Psalm if you don't get that part. He wrote this when he was in the desert of Judah. This is the desert of Judah. I think there's a picture coming up. That's the desert of Judah. That is a desert, people. Okay, not a tree in sight. Not a blade of grass. Only good for people who have allergies. Now, let's read what he said when he was in the desert. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there's no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be, note this, fully satisfied. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. but the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced." So here's David in the wilderness. It's dry and it's barren. What's more, and we know this from the book of 1 Samuel, he's on the run. He has been so successful in battle that the king became jealous of him and thought he was a threat. And so now the king is pursuing him like he's an outlaw, and he ends up in the wilderness for 12 years, living in caves. He had to leave his family, leave his position, leave his career, leave all that he knew, and go and live in the wilderness on the run. That's his circumstance. It doesn't get a whole lot worse. You know what? You'd expect him to be longing for water and food or a nice bed. But that's not what he's longing for. Not one word about any of that. You'd expect him to be, you know, "Oh God, get me out of this. Help me escape. Like, ah, this is terrible." Not a word. Not at all. Not one word about it. You'd expect him maybe to be longing for justice or revenge. He had plenty of cause. But nope, not a single word. Nothing about it. There's nothing in there. Nothing about revenge, nothing about justice. You'd expect him to be longing for his family, for his former position, to go back home. Again, not a word. Nothing. It's funny, you know, at some point we all find ourselves in some kind of wilderness. Maybe you're in the wilderness now. It feels dry, and you're thirsty, and how long is this going to go, God? But David isn't even thinking about those things. He's not thinking about those things because something has happened to him. Something happened to that man. Something happened to him that makes him not have the normal reaction. Something strange, something wonderful. Something that changed everything. Everything. So much so that his current bad circumstances aren't even important to him anymore. What in the world could happen to somebody that would make that happen? What could that be? And of course, he tells us in verse 2, this says it all. "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." He saw the Lord. I don't think he's talking about, you know, a nice little picture he made up in the back of his mind of what he thought the Lord looked like, or that so-called picture of Jesus you got hanging on your wall. That's not what he's thinking about. No, no, no. He saw the Lord in a way that changed him. A real encounter with the living God. And apparently the Lord spoke to him and reminded him who he was, because at the end of the psalm, he reasserts again, "I am the rightful king. I was anointed as king." He doesn't look like a king right now. He's not living like a king right now. He's in the desert on the run, but he knows who he is because God said so. "I saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he was filled with the power of God's love." Or his word would be loving kindness. He was filled, overwhelmed with the loving kindness of God. And it was so tangible and so real and so powerful. He says, your loving kindness is better than life. I can die in the wilderness as long as I got your loving kindness. He saw the Lord. And he came away from that experience knowing for certain who he was. He came away from that experience filled with this love that made all his other desires just fade away into like pale reflections. When you see the glorious splendor of the presence of God, what else is there? He came away from that experience probably more alive than he's ever felt in his whole life. All through history, people have written who've had similar experiences, and they talk about being more alive. Like it's like the cells of their body all of a sudden are living on a new plane, fully alive and energized. I know when it happened to me, it felt as if my whole body was floating in air. I thought I was going to take off. He came away from that experience fully confident and without fear. Sure, he's on the run in the wilderness. He's still on the run. He's still in the wilderness. He's still living in caves. But you know what? If God is with you, and God is for you, and you've seen him and you know his presence and his power and his love, then what on earth can stand against you? What remains that you should be afraid? Even the fear of death itself no longer has power over you when you've seen the Lord. And he became unshakable. Unshakable. He's unshakable right to the end. Unshakable. You know what? Everything else changes. Everything we could aspire to or desire can be shaken. Did we not learn that in the pandemic? In 3 days' notice, everything was shaken. Huh? Like, have you learned your lesson? Everything was shaken except the unmovable, all-powerful, and infinitely loving presence of God. And that's why he's so certain that his enemies will be destroyed. Wouldn't you like to become unshakable? You know, we here now, thousands of years later after this was written, we have enemies. People who wish us harm. Maybe it's some of the Russians. Or maybe it's, you know, some terrorist somewhere. Or it might be just some kid down the street. But you know what? Those who've been following Jesus, we know something. Those who've been following him a long time, we know something. We know our real enemies. Our real enemies are in our own hearts and minds. Yeah, what's going on in here? That's the real problem. Russians, nothing. What's in our hearts and minds? Now, there. Now we're talking about a serious problem. But you know what? If we could only behold the power and the glory of the presence of God, even in the face of those problems, we'd become unshakable. Unshakable. That's why the Apostle Paul prays that his followers would be strengthened with the power of the Spirit to be able to take in the glory of God's love and power, because if they could just get it, they'd become unshakable. Listen, folks, God is shaking things in our time, and he's not done. Shaking times are coming. I'm telling you, hard times are ahead of us. It's not smooth water ahead of us. It's not going to be smooth, and it's not going to be easy, but you can still be unshakable. You can still be unshakable if you saw the Lord. You know, nearly every week, I sit here and I'm thinking, if they only knew. Like, if they only knew what they were getting into, like what we're talking about, what we're singing about, if we only knew, we would be in a whole different place. We would be changed. We'd be unshakable. And you know what? David came away from that experience, he says, fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. He says, as with the richest of food. Like, so satisfied. You know how it is. If you overgorge on rich food, you get to the point where you think, I can't take any more. He was fully satisfied in the presence and the love of God. There was nothing else to compare. What is water compared to the presence of the Lord? What is a bed compared to the presence of the Lord? What is prestige and status compared to the presence of the Lord? It's nothing. The presence of the Lord brought satisfaction far beyond all the other things that he might be concerned about. Listen, folks, the presence of the Lord is the sweetest thing, the most desirable thing, the most addicting thing in the whole universe. When you've seen the presence of God, when you've experienced that power of his love, you become an addict. And that's what this psalm is about. This guy can't get enough. I long for you. I'm thinking about it all the time. I think it day and night. I'm thirsting for you. I'm aching for you. I can't get enough because this is everything. This is the most wonderful thing ever. His desires are completely directed towards the presence of God. When you've experienced the sweetness of his presence, that's what you're always looking for. That's what you're always thinking about. You're always looking for it, like, when can I be back with him? That's how I feel when I come here and gather with all of you. I'm like thinking, maybe he'll come today. Maybe the presence of the Lord will come in our gathering and he'll be there. I'm happy to see you guys too. I like to see you guys and I like the hugs, but you know what? It's nothing. Nothing compared to the sweetness of his presence. Okay? You know, last month, Cindy and I went out to Oregon to see my youngest son. He's got three daughters. And we happened to be there right when it was the weekend of their dance recitals. All three girls, oldest one's 12 and the youngest one's like 8, 10, 12, I think. They'd all been in dance school all this past year. They love singing and dancing. These girls would sing and dance their way through every minute of every day if they could. Which, if you think about the alternatives, not so bad. Okay, so it was their recital. So we go to the recital for their dance company. It's like a big thing. There's literally hundreds of kids involved in this dance school. And it's a big auditorium. There's like 1,000 relatives. You know, a lot of them look like us. You know, grandparents were there. Where's my kid? From this distance, they all look alike. One of them is the one that I'm related to. You know how that goes. So we're all there, and they start doing their dance routines. And it's mostly dance routines to hip-hop music and Broadway musical music. Now, apologies to some of you. I just know that some of you maybe like that kind of music. But I'm 71, and I don't really like any of it. For me, the music died when the Beatles broke up. But they're going along, and you know, I'm just focusing on my granddaughters, you know, just ignoring the music. And all of a sudden, one group gets up and there's something different. And the first thing I noticed, like it was like almost the first note, I felt the presence of God in that room. And I went crazy. I was like, he's here in the dance recital. What's going on? And I turned to Cindy and I said, what's that song? What's that song? What is this song they're doing? And that was this, it turned out, it was a very obscure, nobody seems to have heard of it, but it's like a Christian song called I'm On My Way to the Mountain of Salvation, Salvation Mountain. I'm here to be changed. I'm here to be free. And it just felt like the presence of God was in that room, going up and down the aisles with all those people, looking for desperate people who wanted to be free. It was everything I could do to keep from jumping up and start yelling. I thought, you'll be the crazy old grandpa if you do that. But I was like vibrating because God was in the room all of a sudden. It changed everything. That's what it is to be an obsessed person. Like, you're always looking, will he be here? Will it be now? Because it's so sweet. And as he thinks about all the goodness of God in this experience, all David can do, he says, is praise and glorify and sing and rejoice in the God who loves him so powerfully, and it doesn't even matter that he's living in the wilderness. Oh, if only his presence would visit us that powerfully. Last November, I was at a young adult conference called Cause to Live For in Nottingham, England. There were about 1,020-somethings in the room. I don't even remember what was happening. I don't think we were in the worship. I think it might have been the announcements. All of a sudden, the presence of God came in the room. And about, 300, 400, 500 young people went to their knees instantly. And the rest of us stood there. And it pressed on it. It felt like the air became heavy. It was so heavy. It was like I could hardly breathe. It felt like the air was so heavy. His presence was so strong. And nobody could say anything. Nobody could sing. Nobody could say anything. And we knelt or stood in silence for 30 minutes, just enjoying his presence. And nobody moved, and nobody left, nobody rustled. We just stood or knelt, tears coming down our eyes, and basked in his presence. And finally, after 30 minutes, it lifted a bit, and we were able to get back into worship, and we worshiped in the presence of the Lord under the guidance of the Spirit for the next 3.5 hours without stopping. Nobody leaving. And people got healed, and people got set free, and people got delivered all over the room because the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. You know, in our time, and I find especially in this country, there are many who believe in Jesus and they're trying their best to live in a godly way, but they're living in spiritual poverty because they don't really know the presence of God. And you can tell, they think they love Jesus, but they're not actually thinking about him that much. They're not thinking about him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're not obsessed. They're not looking for him at any moment. Will he turn up here? Will he turn up there? They're not like that. They're not expecting that much from God, really. They're just trying to be good people. That is not David's experience. And that God is not the living God that David knew. And what happens is, because we don't know the presence of God, we find ourselves struggling in the wilderness of our circumstances, struggling with our mental and spiritual enemies and battles. And I think, again, if only they knew, it could be different. If they knew, they too could be obsessed. They would be longing and seeking and clinging to every bit of his presence that they could get. If they knew, they'd be free from fear and loneliness and anxiety. If they knew, they'd be unshakable. If they knew, they'd be praising him constantly, regardless of their circumstances. If they knew, they'd be running to be in his presence again. Amen. If only they knew. So you maybe say this morning, I'd like to know that. I'd like an experience like that. I want to see God. And I say to you today, you can. That's what this whole psalm is all about. That's the whole thing is all about. This is what happened to David, and it can happen to you. But you got to get serious. You got to start seeking with all you've got. You've got to be in the sanctuary in those places where the presence of God tends to show up, and you've got to be hungry. Jesus said, "Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled." Who gets filled? Who gets the experience? The hungry people. The apathetic people, they get nothing. The skeptical people, sometimes they get something, but a lot of times it's also nothing because they're not hungry. They're not open. They're not looking. It's the hungry that get filled. You've got to get hungry. Are you hungry for the presence of God? Amen. I'm going to say that again. Are you hungry for the presence of God? Are you desperate for him? Oh, now we're starting to talk. I want you to talk back at me, right? Are you desperate for him? Yeah. Blessed are the hungry, they'll be filled. So get hungry. You don't have to keep living like this, folks. You can be changed too. Let's stand. Now here's how it's going to happen. In a minute, I'm going to invite the presence of God to come and begin to touch people here. They're going to bring the lights out up, I hope. We're going to wait for the Lord. You have to wait on the Lord. It's not like a coin machine. You have to wait. You have to turn your heart to him, and you have to wait. So we're going to wait for him. Are you ready to wait? Okay. All right. While we're waiting, no praying, okay? I just want you to know, no praying. When you're praying, you're giving. Now you want to be receiving. So it's be still and know that I'm God. So just be still. Just relax, but be still. Don't try to make anything happen. Don't pray, but be receptive. Yes, Lord, whatever you want. Of course, he comes any way he wants, whatever he thinks is good for you. All right? All right, Holy Spirit, we come here right now and bring the presence of God to these people, to the hungry ones. May you come and feed the hungry. May you come save the desperate. May you come and heal the broken. Come in our midst right now. Release your presence and your power to make an unshakable people.